Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
You think about it, it's 2020, and I don't know about you, but I just kind of paused the other day and thought, wow, it's 2020. It was 20 years ago that many of us probably stayed up till 12:01 to see if there would be a power grid crash. How many are guilty of that? You're like, okay, and at 12:01, you're just like, oh, stink, what am I going to do with all this toilet paper now? Or whatever you bought, because in the fray of Y2K, and here we are, two decades later. But question for you this morning as we get going, as you look back over 2019, how did that year treat you? Was it a good year or was it a bad year? Was it filled with victories or was it filled with frustrations? Was it maybe indifferent or was it defining? So my goal for us today is to give perspective to 2019, but also faith for 2020. Perspective on this year, but this past year, but some faith and hope to get you into the new year. Because how many don't want 2019 or 2020 to be like 2019 was? I mean, there's some things in 2019, like, yeah, that was a good growing experience. I'm kind of glad that I experienced that, but I never want to experience that again. I want to grow through that and learn from that. And I want us to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. It's one of my favorite stories that I find in the gospel, and I about passed on it this week as I was preparing, thinking about, Lord, where do we want to go? What do you want me to speak on this Sunday? And I about passed on it because starting in February, we're going to do a deep dive into the Gospel of Mark. And so I was like, well, man, we're going to get there a little bit, you know, into February or March, and I don't know if that's where we need to go today. And so I just really felt like, no, that's where we need to go. This week, as I already said, we launch into a 21-day Daniel fast. And I realize some of us in this place have done it before, and you're like, some of you are crazy because you're like, yeah, it's a Daniel fast. I'm excited for it. Others of you are like, I'm going to do it, but I'm not excited about it. Just want you to know. Others of you are like, why would you do that? And so without going into all that this morning, I just want to say this. Again, there's resources on the website. We've created a daily devotional. I want to encourage you to pick one of these up on your way out today at the Welcome Center. I asked my son, Austin, he's a really gifted writer. I said, hey, back in December, I said, would you be willing to write a devotional over these subjects, over these weeks, 4 weeks in January? The first week I want it to be in reference to the Daniel fast. The next 3 weeks are going to be reference to our vision statement that we're going to be diving into here in the coming weeks. And he was like, yeah, I'd love to, absolutely. So he took some time over the last couple weeks and began working on this. And so this is the first 2 weeks. This is this Sunday through, well, let me just say it this way, it'd be a whole lot easier. This is the first 2 weeks of January. The week 3 and 4 will be available here when week 3 gets here, all right? So easy enough. So anyway, those are available. Good stuff, simple stuff. You're like, man, I'm doing Women of Valor. That's the last thing I need, Steve, is another devotional to do, all right? I know some of you ladies are probably thinking of that, guys in men's Bible, so you're like, that's the last thing I need. But they're really simple. You can go as deep as you want into it, or what I would recommend you do is just like, For example, tonight when we start our prayer time, that you just take, you bring it, and you do it today's devotional in that prayer window. And it'll be simple, it'll be good, but it'll be help you reflect on your purpose and what the Lord wants to speak to you. And so that's available at the Welcome Center. Make sure you pick that up. So because this week revolves around the fast. And so Mark chapter 5, January 5th, Mark chapter 5. That's where we're going this morning. I apologize. I've been fighting this crud all week. Robin is about 2 days ahead of me. And so we just had a fun week this past week, just laying around our house looking at each other like, feeling any better? No. Okay. And so anyway, but the Lord's been good. We both woke up feeling much better today. And so we praise the Lord for that. But if I have a coughing fit, please be gracious to me, forgive me, and come back next Sunday and I will sound better. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Very familiar passage of scripture. It's a story of Jairus and his desire to see his daughter sick, in need of healing, bringing her to Jesus, or coming to Jesus with this request, asking Jesus to come to his place. Verse 21, and when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live. And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garments. And she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed. Some translations said that she was freed of her disease. Verse 35, while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they had said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, John, and the brother of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. Can you imagine laughing at Jesus? But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talmitha kamai, which means little child or little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. The title of the message today, if you want a title, is simply this: The Process Before the Promise. I have a question for you. But before I ask that question, let me just pray. Father, I know that there's some in this room that they're in a defining moment of life, a defining moment of faith. God, and I pray for your grace. I pray for clarity. I pray for faith to build in our hearts. Over the next few minutes, Lord God, help me to communicate clearly. God, help my voice to hold out. God, be glorified in everything that we say. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, here's a question, all right? Have you ever waited so long for something that you finally just wanted to give up on it? Where you just like, man, it's not going to come. The answer's not going to come. The resource isn't going to come. Whatever the situation, it's not going to come. Case in point, Robin, it's hard for me even to share this story to think, man, that was almost like 24 years ago when Austin was born. His birthday is the 15th of January, and so 24 years ago, we are in this season of life where Robin was just like, you know, she was well pregnated, right? And Austin was great. That's not even a word. I shouldn't have ever said that, should I? Go on. It's the medication, all right? And so she's... She's pregnant. Austin tried it. Many of you know the story. He tried coming early. She went into labor 8 weeks early, and the doctor put her on medicine and said, man, we can't, you know, this isn't good. We need him to stay in there about 4 more weeks. And so put her on medicine and several trips to the hospital even after that. And finally, it was 1st of January, I think it was, it was the 14th of January, where the doctor said, okay, you've been 4 weeks, get rid of the medicine, go off the medicine. It was a Sunday morning. We went to church, and Robin was like, okay, church was good. We were tired, went back and kind of hung out at the apartment for a while, and she was like, get up, we're going for a walk. I want to be free, you know, and I want to have this baby. We're going for a walk. And so we went around, walked, like it felt like we walked all over Springfield, Missouri. It wasn't that bad, but we walked, you know, went for a walk and came back to the apartment. And a little bit later in that evening, she's like, it's time. We got to go, right? And so we went to the hospital, and I'm like, yes, finally. You know, we're not going to have to come back to this hospital. It's going to be great. And so we kind of hunkered down. We got settled, and the nurse came into the room and was like, okay, I need you to get up. I need you to go walk the halls for an hour. We're like, okay, Robin, I'm with you. Let's go. You know, and we walked. Man, we got that the fifth floor, whatever floor it was, second floor of St. John's Hospital. And we walked every crevice of that place, heard every patient moaning and groaning, you know. And we came back and sat down, and they're like, "Yeah, nothing happened. Just sit here for a while, lay here for a while." And I'm like, "I'm getting tired. Robin's tired." They come back in. "You need to get back up. Go for a walk for another hour." I look at Robin. I'm like, "I'm tired. My feet hurt." She's like, "You're walking. This is your fault. And so we go, and man, we've repeated that process over and over and over. Man, it was a long night. I don't know. We walked. We got probably 30,000 steps if they would have had Fitbit back then. Walk in St. John's Hospital that night. And it was just like, "Oh, I'm so tired." Finally, they're like, "Okay, just lay down for a bit. We're gonna get you going." And so finally, you know, long story short, now he's gonna be 24 years old. So, but it's that time where you're in a waiting season. You know, the lady's engaged in that. She knows what's going on. She's feeling it. But the guys in the room are like, you know, they're starting to fade and you know, go to fall asleep or whatever. And I was guilty of that. And I wonder how many of us sit here this morning and you've been waiting for something in your life to happen for a really long time. You've been waiting for God to show up in a specific area for some time now. You've been waiting for maybe a material situation to change. You've been waiting for your financial situation to change. Maybe it's a health thing, or maybe it's a mental health issue. You've been waiting and waiting for that to change. And you've been waiting so long that you feel like you have lost your ability to stay present in the current position that God has you in. Have you ever been there? I think as you go into a new year, a new decade, you have high hopes maybe and of what it may look like. How many have some hopes as you step into 2020? You're like, there's some things that I'm like really excited about this year. For Robin and I, that it's like, man, there'll be some firsts for us, and I'm so pumped for them. And you're like, maybe you're stepping into this new year, you're stepping into this new decade, and you're like, man, I'm gonna get out of debt. This is the year. That my important relationships, they're gonna get stronger. Or maybe it's I have this hope that my anxiety and my worry are gonna be put in their proper place. Maybe that this will be the year that God will give me the partner that God has been sculpting for me. And you're like, mm-hmm, if you're single, right? This is the year. This can be the year that it all changes. And we go into these seasons and these years with high expectations. And we find ourselves sometimes in the same position we are in the month or months before as the days pass. And maybe it's where you find yourself today. It's easier to list the disappointments than the triumphs. It's really has felt pretty mediocre at best for you, perhaps. Some of these seasons are frustrating, aren't they? In those seasons, we're quick to play the blame game, maybe. But if we're honest, what we're really frustrated at, or what we're really frustrated with, is God. I mean, all of us, if we can remove and just be transparent, have had seasons, I think, that were, man, God, I'm just frustrated. I don't get it. I don't get why I'm here. I don't get why that prayer hasn't been answered. I don't get. And we're told, and we know that God speaks, and he speaks over us. Maybe there was a passage of scripture that just pulsated within your heart one time while you were in a time of prayer, and you just felt like, man, this is the word of the Lord to me in this for this situation. In a month, in a year, in a decade past, nothing happened yet. Or someone prayed over you and you just felt a nudge within your spirit and you're like, man, God just did something within me. In a week, in a month, or a year passes and you're like, what happened to that nudge? And it's new when it happens. It feels life-giving, it's motivating, it's inspiring, your faith is filled and it's lifted, but then the days and the weeks go by and nothing's changed. Have you ever been there? And what do we do in those times instead of staying present? You know what we do? We begin to take control. If God isn't going to move, then I'm going to move. People do it all the time. I'm going to move on from my marriage. I'm going to move on from the battle to get out of debt. I'm just going to move on. I'm going to move on from this job. Ever since I took it, life has been really messy. I'm going to move on from giving sacrificially and tithing. You said to do it, and it seems like since I started doing it, Pastor Steve Murphy moved in with me, and he's trying to become my best BFF, and I don't want Murphy's Law coming into my home anymore, so I'm going to move on from that. I'm going to move on from living in the integrity of my singleness. Because I look around and I might see my friends that they're not living with integrity in their relationships with their boyfriend or their girlfriend, and they seem to be doing okay, and I've tried and things aren't working out for me, so I'm just gonna move on from doing it your way and I'm gonna do it my friend's way. I'm ready to move on. Have you ever been frustrated with God and decided, or maybe you're deciding to take your future and put it in your own hands? And we begin to force ourselves into situations or out of situations, forgetting something very important that if God has, listen to me, forgetting something very important that if God has placed me here for the time being, he wants to keep me here. And for the time being, while he's keeping me here, he wants to teach me something while I'm here. God never wastes a moment or a season in your life. Don't waste your sorrows. Don't waste your waiting. God wants to develop something in you while you're here. And when it comes to a relationship with the Lord, oftentimes there is a process that precedes the promise. There are labor pains that precede the birth of your promise. So here's the question. So what do you do when you find yourself in these seasons of life when things we were hoping God would do and have believed for haven't happened yet? How do we respond? I think Jairus in our text today can speak to that situation for us. Jairus, he was a synagogue leader, if you will. He was a modern-day pastor. in his day. Jerry has had an issue, though. He's a father of a 12-year-old daughter who is on her deathbed. And as any loving father, he is saying, I'm going to do whatever it takes to see my daughter healed. I'm going to do whatever it takes to see her get well. And I've heard that there is a man who works miracles. And I'm going to go find this man and I'm going to bring him to my daughter. She's too sick to move, so I'm going to bring the miracle worker to her. He's like any dad would do. He's like, game on. Let's do this thing. And he's going to do whatever it takes to get his daughter well. And he hears that Jesus is about ready to walk through his town. And he goes out to meet Jesus. Because he thinks, man, this is my opportunity. And he works his way through the crowd. And he boldly approaches Jesus. And he begs him, hey, would you please come to my place? Learn from that. He boldly approaches Jesus. And how many know bold prayers to God, and God honors bold prayers? I mean, Hebrews 4:16 tells us that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Notice Jesus says that he will go to Jairus' house. But he doesn't promise him he's going to do anything there. What would you assume? Put yourself in the story. Put yourself in Jairus' shoes that this is your need. And Jesus says, yeah, man, I'll go to your house. What would you assume that means? You would assume that your daughter would be healed. Jairus would be thinking, man, this is the day that the Lord has made. He starts singing the song, this is the day that the Lord has made. Yeah, he's coming to my house, you know. And he's all excited about that. Jairus would have to be thinking, he is going to my house. My daughter is going to be healed. And on the way to the house, Jesus gets interrupted by a woman. She's from the same town of Jairus, from the same region. We know her story. We read her story. She's had an issue of blood for 12 years. She boldly works her way through the crowd as well that's gathered around Jesus and says, man, if I can just touch the hem of the garment, of his garment. There's this powerful interaction between her and Jesus and the woman and the disciples, and they're all interacting with one another. She's healed, yet Jairus is over there giving. Can you just imagine Jairus? His daughter's on the deathbed. Jairus is like, hey, Jesus, you know, doing all the like nonverbal, like pointing, you know, towards, you know, doing all the Don Knotts thing. And just trying to, hey, come on, okay, good job, she's healed, let's go, come on, you know. And he's there in this moment, watching Jesus do this miracle, but at the moment, knowing that the clock is ticking on his daughter's life. Just a side note, sometimes we can get so focused on what we want God to do in our life that we lose sight of what God is doing in the lives around us. Learn how to celebrate others' promises being fulfilled while you're in your process. Because if we can do that, that will be one of the most freeing things for you. Have you ever felt overlooked by God while someone else got what you thought you deserved? You're like, man, I've been faithful doing this, I've been faithful doing that, and this just happened to me. What's up with that? Someone else's blessing is not an indictment on you. And you will free yourself up from being critical or being poisoned and having a victim mentality if you can learn to be a cheerleader and celebrating with those who are celebrating. God moving in other people's lives shouldn't disrupt or discourage your faith. It should encourage your faith. If God can do it, I mean, it should be this way. If God can do that in their life, God can do that in my life too. If God is healing your neighbor, then guess what that means? That just means that God's in the neighborhood and he might be coming to my house next, right? In this situation, Jairus should be sitting there going, yes, it's true. Jesus can and Jesus does heal. I'm coming to the right guy right now. He just healed this lady. Yes, he is a miracle worker. And he's getting closer to my daughter. And that's why we come to church and we do life groups and we hang out together so that we can encourage each other's faith, that we could speak into each other's faith. And the story unfolds, right? And Jairus is there seeing Jesus heal this lady. And all of a sudden, some of his friends from home show up. Can you imagine as those guys are arriving and they see Jairus and they're bringing not good news, they're bringing news that his daughter did die. Can you imagine, you know, who's going to tell him? John, you going to tell him? No, I'm not telling him. You tell him. I told him that about when his cat ran away and he wasn't happy then. You're telling him about, you know, and they're like, okay, how are we going to do it? Who's going to tell him? Ah, dang, I lost. Okay, I'll tell him. Jairus, bad news for you. Sorry, your daughter died. I hate to break it to you, but your daughter's dead. Can you imagine? The answer to her sickness is present, and we're heading that way. We're on the way. We just had to pause so that he could talk to this lady. Jairus, I'm sorry. She's gone. It's over. Friends go on to say, Jairus, don't bother Jesus anymore. I mean, move on. Let it go. And listen. We have to be careful with the voices we allow to infiltrate our life and infiltrate our faith. Don't let the noise of this world distract and outweigh the voice of God over your life. Write this down. The most consistent voices in your life will be the loudest voices in your life. Make sure that you're dialed into the right voices. Are you getting alone with God? Are you creating an atmosphere in your life where you are learning the voice of God, that you are studying scripture, you're studying the word. It's more than just, I'm glad you're here every Sunday, but it's more than just coming and listening to a preacher. It's you and I individually, daily into the word of God. Dialing in our antennas into what the Lord would have to speak to us. It's listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you in this situation? Not Google, not your friends, but the Spirit. The conversation is going on between Jairus and his friends, and Jesus overhears it. Even when Jesus is attending someone else to someone else, his heart, his ears are still turned into you. Look at what it says. Jesus is wrapping up this interaction with this lady, right? And looks at Jairus, verse 36. But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, hey, do not fear, only believe. That's a message for some of you here today. Don't fear. Only believe. But Steve, this, hey, what is the Spirit of the Lord saying to you? The Lord would say to you, we're still on the way to the promise. You coming? Jairus, I'm the way maker, I'm the healer. We're still on the way to the promise. You coming or are you going to sit here and take that report? Because I'm willing to go and I'm wanting to go to where you invited me to go, to your house, to heal your daughter. But you coming? One of the things that is cool about this encounter and Jairus' response is this, that is that he never left the side of Jesus. He didn't run off when he received the news. He stayed in close proximity to Jesus. Let me ask you, why didn't he leave? I want to submit to you because he knew the closer I am to Jesus, the closer I am to seeing the promise fulfilled. The closer you are to Jesus, the more you lean into him and understand the heart of Jesus. That's why we start every year, the last 4 years, we started the year with a Daniel fast. It isn't about starving yourselves and making yourself miserable or your family miserable because we're detoxing our bodies from the Christmas sludge. That's not why we do it. It's about dialing our spirit in with his spirit. And the more you begin to understand the heart of Jesus, the more you begin to understand the plans of Jesus. And the more you understand the plans of Jesus, the more faithful and hopeful you will be in the process times that you find yourselves in. I still trust. I'll not be afraid. I will believe. What is your propensity in life when we're in such a situation? Unfortunately, instead of leaning in, sometimes we avoid Jesus. We avoid the things that strengthen our faith and relationship. And the more we lean away, the more we act like the victim and not the victor. And think about it. Who are you in seasons of disappointment? Who you are says a lot about your character and your trust in Christ. Does it not? Why? Simply because the seasons of disappointment challenge our faith and make us ask the questions, do I really believe Jesus says who he says he is and is able to do what he says he can do? In your season of disappointment, can you keep your integrity? In your season of disappointment, can you keep your character? Can you keep the vision that's been planted within your heart? Can you keep that vision that you have for your family in the midst of the season that you're in? Can you keep your faith? There's always a purpose to the labor pain. There's always a purpose to your process. Understand, in these seasons, God is building something in you that you can't build overnight. Building something in you that is difficult to build in the seasons of prosperity or success or ease or when things are smooth sailing, building in you patience and self-control and strength and perseverance. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you have to have those seasons where, man, if God doesn't do something and I'm just hoping on my faith because that's all I have to hope in, and God shows up and does something, he's building that in you. He's developing something in you that you can't develop overnight. And it's always been that way, and it will always stay that way. It was that way with Abraham and Moses and David and Mary and Joseph. It was that way with Jesus, who in the process that preceded the promise, he went to the cross. Why? Because he knew what was promised. And your season of waiting doesn't have to be a season of wandering, though. Look what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. In 2020, you can be courageous, you can stand firm, you can be strong. Then let me ask you a question as we start to circle here. What if nothing changes? What if 2020 is the same as 2019 and 2018 and maybe 2017? How do you respond? Well, there's a great theologian from the movie Frozen. And I've never seen either. I've not seen any of the movies, but this line sounds pretty profound. It's from Pabby. When no one can see, when one can see no future, all one can do is the next right thing. That's not Bible, but it's good. Do what's right. When everything in you wants to run and rush the process, can I implore you, please stay present. In your season of greatest opposition, right around the corner is your greatest opportunity. And just when you think your promise is dead, God is just about to raise it back to life again. Use this Daniel fast to step close to the promise maker, to the promise keeper. The worship team would come. Let's talk about the rest of the story. Jesus leaves the woman that he healed and heads towards Jairus' house. And they get to his house, and there are people crying and overcome by the emotions of the passing of this young girl, and rightly so. Jesus asks this question, why are you crying? She's not dead. And the crowd laughs at him. Probably frustrates Jesus a little bit, so he boots him out of the house, and he takes mom and dad and the two disciples up to her room. Scripture says this, Jesus said, little girl, I say to you, get up. Can I, on this first Sunday of 2020, can I just tell some of you that the dreams and the promises that you thought were dead aren't dead? They're just waiting for you to arrive. They are just waiting for you to go through the process. They're just waiting for you to go through the developmental season. Maybe this season of life is just some of the big plans God has for you right now. And he's with you. What if God's greatest gift for your life is a no for the right now? This season is strengthening your faith, and there will be a point down the road where you're going to need the strength that you've developed today in this season to be able to handle the promise. Don't minimize, don't resist the process. Listen, God's a father, and he cares for you, and he's with you. In fact, he is the God of all promises. He is the promise keeper.
Everybody dance. Everybody. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.